Introduction. This is how one pictures the angel of history. Where we perceive a chain of events, he sees one single catastrophe, which keeps piling wreckage upon wreckage, and hurls it in front of his feet. The angel would like to stay, awaken the dead and make whole what has been smashed. But a storm is blowing from paradise. The storm irresistibly propels him into the future, to which his back is turned, while the pile of debris before him grows skyward. This storm is what we call progress. Walter Benjamin, Theses on the Philosophy of History, 1940. In 2016, I visited the remains of one of the most opulent palaces built by Saddam Hussein, the deposed dictator of Iraq. It's a domineering sight, rising from the top of an artificial hill outside the city of Hilla, on a branch of the Euphrates River. All angular facades and empty windows, almost too bright to look at in the baking Iraqi sun. In the 13 years since the toppling of Saddam's government, its once neat gardens have overgrown, and now burst with scrub and weeds, collecting scraps of wind-blown rubbish. Once you step inside the cavernous space, emptied of all furniture, you can still see the traces of finery, the mantles and doorways in mock Baroque style. But now the plaster is cracked, the walls are scrawled with graffiti, and local children play football in the echoing space. Glass beads from the opulent chandelier in the main hall are scattered on the floor, coated with a thin layer of dust. It's said that after building this palace at enormous expense, Saddam only visited once, but every night his cook would prepare him dinner just the same, in case he ever showed up. As I walk out through the empty windows and on to the panoramic balcony of the main bedroom, the plains of the Euphrates Valley stretch out before me, and another ruin fills my view. A lunar landscape the colour of lion's fur, the sprawling mass of broken walls and ancient architecture that shows where, 2,500 years before, the city of Babylon once stood. Saddam had hoped that building his palace here would encourage comparisons with the ancient rulers of Mesopotamia. Perhaps he imagined that he would step out onto this balcony and feel inspired by the deeds of those ancient kings, Sargon, Esarhaddon, and Nebuchadnezzar. During his 24 years in power, Saddam embarked on many ill-conceived restoration projects of these ruins. When he learned that ancient kings used to stamp their names on the bricks they used, he was inspired to do the same. Now many of the ancient walls have been rebuilt using bricks bearing the inscription, "From Nebuchadnezzar to Saddam Hussein." Today, the remains of his palace stand over the ruins of Babylon like a bad joke. The palimpsest of human history, forever being written and rewritten, scrubbed out and started again. The world is full of such ruins. Sometimes it seems as if there are more of them than anything else. From Rome's Colosseum to the rusting factories of northern England and the crumbling suburbs of Detroit. From the pyramids of Giza to the ghost villages wiped off the map in the devastation of the First and Second World Wars. From the vine-wreathed temples of the Maya to the cracked star forts of European colonizers. From the emptied shopfronts of our high streets to the shell-pocked buildings of Bakhmut, Mosul, Aleppo, and Gaza. Each of these ruins means something different, but they have one thing in common. These are all places where one day the future was cancelled. As countless people have found throughout history, many of them included in these pages, a ruin is a place where the mind can't stay quiet. As we walk among the fallen walls and crumbling stones of an ancient temple, a palace or fortress, we can't help but imagine the world as it once was, and as it might have continued to be. Our minds fill in the gaps in the stones to make them whole. We sketch in the upper floors of towers and keeps that have long since rotted or burned away, and we hear the thud of footsteps across those vanished floorboards. We picture the lives that passed through the corridors and halls and left the stone steps worn in the middle, like used bars of soap. Human lives as a geological force, flowing like water through the broken cloisters. A ruin is a paradox. Each one shows us the fearsome power of time, while simultaneously standing in defiance of it. Being such powerful imaginary spaces, ruins have always spurred human creativity. From the dawn of history, people have written about the poignant and difficult feelings they provoke. That peculiar mix of awe and melancholy. One Babylonian world map from the 6th century BCE, inscribed on a clay tablet, shows how ancient people conceived of the earth. Divided into four quadrants, it includes lands of serpents, dragons, and scorpion men, the far northern regions where the sun is never seen, and a great body of water they called the Bitter River. The map also describes ruined cities, watched over by the ruined gods. These ruins were thought to be places of magic, the haunts of ghosts and evil spirits. Ruins haunt us still. This haunting finds a new expression in countless video games, books, films, and television series that depict post-apocalyptic wastelands, where the familiar modern world around us is turned into a bleak and hostile place, and the comforts of modern society are stripped away. The ruins of the past and countless imagined futures remind us that history is not a linear progression from worse to better, from ignorance to knowledge, from war to peace. It has always been characterized by periods of flourishing, periods of fallowness, and periods of wanton destruction. When I first began telling these stories in the form of an audio podcast at the start of 2019, I expected to reach an audience of perhaps a few thousand like-minded listeners. But at the time of writing, as the series enters its fourth year, it has been listened to more than 100 million times by listeners all around the world. This book is in part dedicated to all the people who have supported the project through the years and buoyed it up with their kindness, their knowledge, and their passion. For those who have been following the series since the start, I hope that when they hold this book in their hands, they will know the part they had in making it. Our word dilapidated comes from the Latin for stone, lapis. Dilapidare means to scatter stones about. And as Ecclesiastes tells us, there is a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. This book is an attempt to gather a number of different stones. It does not pretend to be an exhaustive account of every significant civilization in history. And there are notable omissions that I hope will rebalance the attention that certain periods in history receive. However, I aim to tell as complete a story of the history of human collapse as could be achieved without significant repetition. The chapters of this book are designed to stand alone as self-contained narratives, allowing a reader to dip in and out where they please. But I have placed them in a loosely chronological order, so that those who wish can see the interconnected ebb and flow of history down the ages. The book is divided into three parts. The first is the ancient world, in which we see the formation of the earliest city-based societies in Mesopotamia and the Eastern Mediterranean, giving way to the rising classical powers of Carthage and ultimately Rome, and on the other side of the world, the Han Dynasty of China. before these two break apart. The second is the Middle Age, in which societies and empires around the globe, like the Maya, the Khmer, Vijayanagara in India, and Byzantium, struggle to hold themselves together against the centrifugal forces of dissolution, as the world changes from under them and new technologies shake up long-established power structures. The final section, Worlds Collide, will look at the great mass extinction event of human societies that took place during the colonial period, and the peoples that were ground into dust to make way for modernity. Finally, in the epilogue, I will look ahead at what the future may hold for our own modern world. The book defines a civilization as any large and organized society. My interest is not in the simple disintegration of empires, and I have left out examples such as the British, Ottoman, Spanish, and Soviet empires, where administrations simply transitioned from one government to many. I have restricted my stories to those in which a significant abandonment of population centers took place, where the social fabric disintegrated, cities were left empty, and buildings fell into disuse and disrepair. I have not attempted to systematize collapse or come up with a grand unifying theory for why it occurs. I tell these stories not to file them away into a neat system where they can't hurt us, but because they do hurt us. These stories of loss and failure are all of our stories. They are as much a part of us as any exalted monument or grand epic. However, it cannot escape the reader's attention that the stories share common themes. Many of these societies collapsed because the climate or environment changed around them in ways that they could not foresee or control. Many kept their populations in states of staggering inequality, which destroyed their social fabric and reduced their abilities to react to crises. Some collapsed because the interconnected systems of trade and exchange they were a part of disintegrated. Others sowed the seeds of their own destruction with excessively cruel or bellicose treatment of their neighbors. In virtually all, the productive forces that once nurtured their growth eventually turned into liabilities, but they found themselves unable or unwilling to change course. As a result, this book should also be read as a call to action. While no one knows what the future will hold, the coming century will present perhaps the greatest series of challenges that humanity has ever faced. And the actions required to correct our current course are significant. Every ruin in this book should thus be understood as a warning and a challenge. Take nothing for granted. Resist those who have mortgaged our future for their greed, and fight with every inch of your being to build a better world.